Conspiracies abound that the government has been running a moon base for decades. It all started in 1969 when we thought they were operating a movie studio to film the moon landing. Well, today NASA is doing it, and the move could help them with recruiting. Only this lunar outpost resides within the confines of your computer and the web. It's a realistic 3D video game called Moonbase Alpha. And starting today, you can step into the role of an astronaut, bouncing around the lunar surface and even driving a futuristic lunar rover. And believe it or not, the game is designed to answer a call from the White House. Joining us to explain is Dr. Daniel Laughlin, project manager for NASA's Learning Technologies Project. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Great to have you on. So tell us the background of this game and why NASA decided to create it in the first place.
Well, as you probably know, we are not getting enough graduates in STEM fields at science, technology, engineering, and mathematics in this country, and the White House has called for an initiative, the Educate to Innovate initiative, to try and get more graduates, more students going into those fields and graduating, and those are major focuses for NASA's education initiative. We were inspired by the America's Army game developed by the Army Game Studio as the starting point for this project.
Is that why a video game then?
Well, we know from research that 98% of kids by the time they get to college report that they play video games at least at some point on a regular basis and as they were growing up. So it was a way to reach a big audience.
So tell us about this game itself and how you developed it and what it does.
It was developed, as I mentioned, we worked in partnership with the Army Game Studio, who developed America's Army, and also the contractor that worked with them, Virtual Heroes. We're using the Unreal 3 engine technology from Epic Games. It is a 3D realistic environment where you perform actions in the role of an astronaut on the surface of the moon. Your perspective is from either inside the helmet or a perspective looking behind the astronaut, and you move around in a 3D space on your computer, and you experience the gravity at 1/6 G just like you would on the moon, and you're at a hypothetical moon base where there's been a minor disaster and you have to race against the clock to repair things.
See, that sounds really, really super cool and very fun, and I'm going to go out and get it immediately, except I'm wondering how this helps with the STEM and the education aspect of it. What are kids going to learn from this? How does this push that science, technology, engineering, and mathematics initiative?
Well, this game is specifically designed to be inspirational to get the players thinking, or at least the younger players. It probably wouldn't do me any good at 46 to start a new career in STEM, but to get those who are still in school considering career opportunities. This is inspirational to think about careers as opposed to actually improving someone's performance, say, in their physics class. We have another initiative for which this is a precursor, a much bigger, deeper game coming hopefully next year that will, in fact, help people with their education improve their performance in math and science. This one is inspirational, but we also link it to all of NASA's education resources about the moon.
And we're speaking with Dr. Daniel Laughlin. He's the project manager for NASA's Learning Technologies Project. Now, is this the first game for NASA, or do you have others?
There are other games at NASA. NASA's got a site called the NASA Kid Club that has a number of games, but those are much more simple games directed at much earlier age levels, things like concentration-type memory games and hangman sort of games and some simple sort of adding and subtracting games. This is probably the most complex game that NASA has done, so it is a first for us.
But you mentioned that it's a precursor to something that may be coming along next year that might even be more intense. Can you give us a sneak preview of what that game might be like?
That game will be an ongoing, what's called a massively multiplayer online role-playing game along the lines of the World of Warcraft, which is the biggest-selling massively multiplayer online game. And that will allow tens of thousands of simultaneous users to play in the same environment and face challenges where they have to use real math and science to answer those challenges and missions. And we know that students and young people, and for that matter, not such young people, spend dozens of hours of discretionary time a week playing games like that. We're hoping to tap into that time to enhance education.
And I'm looking at it right now, the trailer you have online for the game, and actually it looks better than that 1969 broadcast of the men actually landing on the moon for the first time, I have to tell you. But what will your measurement system be for the efficacy of this game? How many people visit and so forth is easy to measure. How will you measure its effectiveness?
This one we are measuring simply by the number of downloads, how many people downloaded, how many people play it, how much time is spent. We'll have a certain amount of ability to see where it's being downloaded, so we'll know generally where in the country, what kind of areas. We'll be able to put together some demographic information about the users, and we know from our research that roughly a quarter of the people who download it following the patterns on the Steam network, which we're using, will be in the target age range we're looking for, which is middle through high school as the users. So we won't have a measure for this one, do you get better grades, but we will be looking at the numbers, and that's going to be important to us.
And are you worried about educators who might say, hey, why launch another video game? That's part of the problem when kids should be sitting home reading Beowulf.
I spend a considerable portion of my work time addressing the question of are video games harmful or helpful, and dealing with questions that put a false dichotomy between are you learning or are you having fun. And the fact is that a lot of the good learning happens when you're having fun, and there's no reason that fun can't be educational.
Let's talk about the future of this then. It seems as though, you know, when I was growing up and when Tom was growing up, the federal government wanted to reach us that we would have like ABC after school special, you know, PSAs and like pamphlets coming in the mail and things like that. This is a whole different type of outreach from the federal government. And you mentioned that you had partnered with Army Game Studio. The military's been doing this. Now NASA's doing it. Is this the way of the future, the video games to reach out to young people and, if not recruit them, at least educate them as to what's going on in their federal government?
It's certainly a growing part of the future. I don't know that it's going to replace everything else, but video games and virtual worlds are definitely coming into their own as far as communications and outreach, education, actually in all fields. We know that virtual reality, virtual games, virtual spaces are becoming a much bigger part of people's lives. And as people in general move into that space, it's incumbent on government to serve those people to move into that space with them.
Dr. Daniel Laughlin is the project manager for NASA's Learning Technologies Project, bringing us up to speed on this brand new video game. And how do we get our hands on the game?
We've got a website that will take you to the Steam network, where you have to download the Steam client and then you can get the game over the Steam client. All those things are free. It only takes registration, and you can register under any email account. You don't have to reveal personal information.